Okay. I spoke with the father before I got on the phone, and he has a few things he'd like me to share with you, but the first thing he told me to do is that he's at an age that he won't have for long, and I give you my peace. But then father also said that he would also like you to know that he is giving all of you a special joy as well. I would like to welcome Lightstream to the team. We're going to start her training next month, so I would ask that everybody would please pray for her. Not that it's something grueling or intense at any time. Also, Firelight, we're going to wish you a happy birthday again. And then Tranquility, I was going to ask you, if you can get on the phone, is there any update on Tom? Did the district elder get a chance to give that recording to the DA?
I'll let you know in a few minutes.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Blazar, is there any word on Bianca? Is she able to get to the doctor?
She will be going to the doctor next week, and she's going to be prescribed epileptic seizure medication. So.
Okay.
Can I just tell you something, Blazar? I've taught two students who had epilepsy, and by the time they went through puberty, they outgrew it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Wonderful. And then Blazar,
I care about you.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to ask you, any idea on a new job? Any fronts? Any leads?
No, I haven't heard anything yet.
Okay. Then we will all just keep praying for you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Can you talk now, Tranquility?
No.
Okay. Then we will come back. No problem. Okay, I went and I saw Father, and he asked me to share these thoughts with you. So these are his words. He said, be mindful of your surroundings everywhere you go. Be on your guard. Satan will try to trip you up. I wanted to interject in there, Halloween is coming up at the end of the month. That is what Father is talking about. The veil between both worlds is the thinnest that week. It's not a coincidence that our service for the departed is usually a couple days after Halloween, and that's going to be November 3rd. So I'm going to ask everyone to be on your guard, be mindful of your surroundings, as Father has said, because Satan is going to step up his efforts during that time frame. We all know that Halloween is a misconstrued holiday, that Satan likes to play on that, and he dumps more evil into our world than he does any other day because he has that ability to do it. So that is what Father is talking about. Be mindful of your surroundings. Don't let your guard down. He also said, for me to tell all of you, he said, I am watching all of you closely. Never think for one moment that my eye would stray from you, nor would I ever forsake you in your time of need. Sometimes you may feel as if I have, but I am always near you. Please do not ever forget that. He said, do not hesitate to share your needs and your desires with me. Some of you are holding back your heart because you feel it is inconsequential to me and you are only bothering me with your small concerns. Do you not realize how very precious all of you are to me? Yes, you too, Fred. Everything that is on your heart is important to me, so please share it. Dump it out until it is empty, so I may then fill my love with in your heart and give you strength. And if I feel like it, I may even answer your question or concern, he said. And then he smiled. And then he ended by saying, always know how much I love you. Please take these words to heart, my team. Father does not ever think for a moment that you are wasting his time. There was a lot of affection in his voice when he asked me to share this with you. It was almost disconcerting to him, or it hurt him, that you would ever think that any concern that you had or anything that you would need would be a bother to him. He is the ultimate parent. Those of you that have children, would you ever deny your child anything? You would not. And you delight any time they come and ask something from you. Our Heavenly Father is the exact same way. So don't cut him short, and don't think that if you're struggling with something, or you have something that's coming across your heart that you think is stupid, do not think that. He wants us to be as close to him as possible. He delights when you and I share even the smallest little insignificant thing with him, regardless of whether it's something that's not a pleasant thing for us, but he delights even more when you and I share some joys that happen during our day, when we do something that's crazy for someone else to view, or you and I have a little bit of a victory, or we have something that happens to us that no one else would think is a big deal. It's a big deal to him, okay? And even though he sees everything, he delights when you and I take the time to actually share those moments with him, okay? So don't cut him short. I wanted to bring to your attention, I have not been writing in my book for about 2.5 months now, so I'm going to extend your chapter that I'm asking you to write for my book. He's not going to be due until January 1st, 2015. So much has been going on in all of our lives that I don't want to impact you with any more stress than you need to. If you're going to write about your experiences, I want it to be a joy. I want you to be happy. I want you to be celebrating what our Heavenly Father has done for you, and I don't want you to have it be begrudging about it or it to be a burden on you in any way. So you have an entire year to spend time and write how Father has touched your life with this team, okay? I wanted to bring to your attention that because all of you have the rank of colonel, that I'm also giving you now the command of one legion of angels under you. That means you have 6,000 angels to command. When you give your lieutenant, your lead angel, a command, he will then go to those 6,000 and he will give the orders and he will have them carry it out. I also wanted to ask, at the beginning of the year, I had told everybody that Father had given you a gift. And everybody's gift is unique and different. And it's not going to be something colossal. It may not be something that is in a monetary sense. It may be a virtue or something. I want to remind you that come December, I would ask that all of everybody on the team would figure out by that time what that gift is that Father gave you, because it's Christmas time. It's our big brother's season. It's the season of gifts. So I thought maybe we could share all of that with each other. So if you do not know what your gift is at this point, then I would ask you to ask Father to share that information with you, and he will. Through this process, when you come to total 100% acceptance that you are the name that Father has given you as this new healer, he will remove from you your spirit, and then he will assign to you a counseling angel. Have everybody met their counseling angel? I know that a few on the team have. I'm not giving any deadline, okay? I'm just asking in general. So if you have met your counseling angel, they would be somebody that is totally different than the angels that have been assigned to you. They would actually not have any armor. They would actually look like a business-type person. I know that one of the people on the team, they call their counseling angel the professor because he looks like a professor. Recently, another one of our teammates just met her counseling angel. So I would encourage you to ask Father to help you get to that process. Again, I am not putting any parameters or deadline on this, because for anybody to accept the name that Father has given you is quite a journey. It took me, I still wrestle with it, folks. 3 years I've known who I am, and still at times I scratch my head and say, is this real? It is very much real. Because of the experiences that I personally have shared, the experiences that Father has personally had you share, inside of that comes the confidence that you are who he says you are. So as we wrestle with our own free will, with our own intellect, it's through that process that you and I now get our heads around what all this is. So I would encourage you to seek out your counseling angel. I've asked Firelight and Trisis to share experiences that they had. I think it was last month. Trisis, I believe his was this month. So I'll ask Firelight to go first. I will ask you to keep it 10 or 15 minutes. So please share with everybody.
Okay. Hi, everyone. Thank you for all the wonderful birthday wishes and your prayers. Last month, when I was starting to feel better, I had called Supplanter and asked him if I could be, you know, put back on the books here of working and ready to go, because I had had my hairdresser had asked me if I would give her fiance a healing. And so I had called Supplanter Talk with them and told them, you know, I'm really nervous, which is usual case, you know, before a healing. So the next morning, I went and was meditating, and I went and talked to our father, and I was like, I'm really nervous. And he's like, welcome back, Firelight. And I said, can I ask you a question? And he was like, well, sure. And I said, I don't know why I'm asking this, but can I have Jesus go with me in this healing? And he's like, well, absolutely. And I was like, okay. So I was getting ready for the healing, and I get in my car. As I pull out the driveway, I notice that Jesus is already with me. He's sitting in the passenger seat of my Jeep. Now I'm really nervous because, like, I'm, like, fumbling around going, well, what kind of music do you want to listen to? I don't know. I just, it was extraordinary situation. I never had anything like that happen to me before. So he rode with me to my hairdresser's house. And we had gotten there a couple minutes early, and he told me that, you know, they left the door unlocked. You can go ahead and go in and sit down, and we'll wait for them. And I'm like, okay, I'm not going to argue with Jesus. You know? So I go in, and I sit and wait, and they hadn't arrived yet. And then they came in, and the hairdresser, she told me we could go off into the living room where I could give her fiancé a healing. So I walk in there, and he wanted to have a cigarette first, and I said, that's fine, and I'll just get the room set up. And so Jesus actually went and sat down in the one chair that had an ottoman, and then I set up, like, the kitchen table chair out in, you know, in my space and just got it all ready to go. So he comes in, and he sits down, and, you know, I give him my, you know, the energy healing, I don't want to call it our spiel, but, you know, what to expect and all of that. And I had met him a year ago. I had given him a healing, and I know that he's a very spiritual being, but I don't really know that much about him and his history, just that he's very spiritual. So, and all that he knows of me is that I'm an energy healer. He doesn't know about, you know, the depth of, you know, we slay demons and all that kind of stuff. So I start the healing, and I get into his second chakra, and I can see where the spirit of addiction and the spirit of fear are off in the distance, and they've been kind of, you know, taunting him. And as it turns out, like, he has, you know, in the past he's had a problem with alcoholism and everything. And so I'm talking to him about, you know, these spirits, and he's like, oh, yeah. He goes, I know them very well. He goes, and also I'm very familiar with the spirit of death. And he said, you know, this is really tiring. My life is a very tiring life. And then he mentioned the contact that he comes in with demons. And I was, okay, kind of taken aback. And he said, well, he goes, most people don't understand. He goes, it kind of be over your head. And I was like, all right. So as we continue on, I get into his heart chakra, and there's a horse riding across, like, be like a desert, and it's kind of a pale horse. And I look at him, and I said, so what's the significance with the horse? And he quickly takes off his shirt, and he's got this tattoo of this horse that I saw actually on his back. And he said, it's a part of what I belong to. And he said, are you familiar with, in Revelation, the story or the telling of the pale horse? And I said, yes. And he said, you know, most people don't quite understand it. He said, but, you know, I'm a part of all of that. So now, I'm sitting down and I'm looking at him, and I was like, so tell me some more about what it is that you're, you know, you're implying here. And he begins to tell me that he's part of a group that they go around and they protect people. He said, if only people knew the exact extent of what they deal with on the level of evil. And at this point, I look at Jesus, and I'm like, is this guy for real? And he said, you just need to listen to him. I said, okay. So he goes on to tell me about how he's, you know, worked with the spirit of death, and he helps people cross over and take that ghost road, because some of the times when people die, they're lost. He tells me about the people that he's helped where they've come to the edge, where evil has just pushed them to the edge, and they're there to help destroy that evil. So then going into the center of his mind, now I'm watching, I'm seeing like a parallel of what we do and who we're helping, and then I'm also seeing like this road beside our road, what we're doing, and I see him and several others, and they're doing the exact same thing, but we're doing it side by side. And at this point, you know, I'm looking and I can see that he has two tall angels standing behind him. They're the same height as our, you know, protection angels, but instead of being dressed like in the, you know, the gladiator stuff that ours wear, they're dressed completely in black, and they're, you know, completely like, there's no emotion, there's no, you know, like I'm looking at them and like, you know, how we can talk with ours and kind of have conversations, like they were like expressionless. So I'm standing there and I can't believe like what he's telling me. Like I'm just having a hard time that, and I didn't, you know, 'cause I'm trying to sort out like there are other people that are doing what we're doing. And he goes on to tell me and explain to me that he's been doing this since the Roman Empire, you know, and he was talking about, you know, these centurions and talking about how they started in that time and how they got to America and all of that. And then he began to also talk about how they're going to be a part of the end time that it talks about in Revelation. And he said, you know, when we show up, and pardon my language, but this was his language, he goes, when we show up, he goes, shit's about to get real. And I'm just seeing, like, what he's describing. And so I get into the crown chakra, and there he is. He's sitting Indian style, and there's a light that's connecting from the top of him to our Father. And our Father says, yes, he is who he says he is, and tell him that I know that he's tired and that I will renew his strength today. And, you know, that this, you know, vineyard of mine is large, and that he is who he says he is. And so instead of how at the end of the healing when we have to bring back someone's energy, our Father actually at that point filled him with his energy and restored him and acknowledged that, you know, how tired he is and that he's been doing this for quite some time. So when I got done with the healing, I asked him, you know, what is his name? And he said his name is Thunderheart. And I was talking to him about Supplanter, and he said, yes, I'm aware of who he is. And he said, and when you talk to him today, he will know who I am as well. And I still was just in shock. And I don't know, it was something that I just, on my way home, you know, the Holy Spirit was in the car with me at this point, and he said, don't be naive to think that this team is the only group of people that are doing this. Evil's been around for centuries, and this team has only been together for, you know, 3 years. So, yes, I called Supplanter and shared with him this experience, and, you know, he verified that where we were put together to protect the Bride of Christ, this group that Thunderheart belongs to protects the human race. And I think, you know, a Supplanter can talk more about it than what I can as far as paralleling who we are and then what they're doing. But it was definitely an interesting experience, and now I know why I asked to have Jesus come along with me, because it would have been hard for me to, you know, I don't know. It's just, it was an amazing healing, and I look forward to talking more with Thunderheart, and I know that he wants to sit down and meet Supplanter and talk with him too.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. She is correct that there are other teams that fathers put together, I will tell you how you can decipher between us and everybody else. The President of the United States has the Secret Service, but not all of the Secret Service protects him. There's a special group that have been assigned specifically to the President and all those that are in his cabinet, and you and I are like that. All of these other teams that fathers put together, they have their specific tasks, but you and I, our specific task is the Bride of Christ. The Bride of Christ is vast. It's unnumbered at this moment. Father knows exactly how many people are going to be involved with the final taking. But the world is bigger than the Bride of Christ is going to be. And you and I, we cannot police the world. But Father now has other people in place that can do that. And that is what Founder Heart's responsibility is. So I was not completely surprised when Firelight called me and shared this information with me. And then I went and spoke with Father, and he is now confirming all of this as I'm sharing it with you. So we are specifically, again, for the Bride of Christ. Any other team, they are for the world. Okay? Trice has had an experience, and he can share his experience now. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everybody. Can you hear me?
Yep.
All righty. So about 4 years ago, I had a couple days off, and I wanted to do a photo trip. It was before my legs got really, really bad. And I knew I was limited, but there's a great place I wanted to go to. I hadn't been there before, called Starved Rock State Park. It's about an hour and a half west of Chicago. The history is that there was some huge Indian battles there, not necessarily with the white man, but it's been a fought off, or often fought over territory, and hundreds and thousands of Native American Indians have died there. The latest one for what it was called was that the one group of Indians literally starved the other one because it was like a precipice. It was a big raised area near the Illinois River, and they starved them, and that's how they won, and they won the territory. The 2 days I was there, they were cutting the grass. Yay for me. It was very difficult to just find a place. I went there specifically in the summer because it was hotter than heck, and it's not known for the traffic that they have there. It's usually in the spring and the fall because it's made with lots of, or not made, but it's got a lot of waterfalls and areas like that. So I thought I found a nice place to plunk down. So Planter had said how great it was to meditate in the grass. So I started. And during my meditation, all of a sudden hundreds and thousands of Indians, American Indians, showed up around me, all around me. I wasn't scared. I just, you know, kind of raised my hand and said, hello, everybody. I'm just meditating. And I didn't think anything of it. With Chief Katakiching and the experience that, you know, Bob had on Michigan and with the Indian tribe there that was lost, I thought about that often. And then about 8 weeks ago, Father told me to go visit the Indians. And I didn't remember what he had said or where I was. And then it finally dawned on me. I'm like, oh, my goodness, the Indians that were there at Starved Rock State Park. Of course, in my human nature, I hemmed and hawed. About 3 weeks ago, I woke up wide awake at 7 a.m. on a Sunday, and I heard his voice saying, go visit the Indians, but first come visit me. So I made a cup of coffee, got ready, and I sat down, got into the center of my mind, and I went and saw him, and I said, Father, what would you like me to say? He goes, you're going to take Chief Katakiching, or more aptly described, he will be there with you, and you will invite these Indians to service. You will invite them to church. I said, okay. All right. I didn't really know what to say. I talked to Father about a few other things, and one of the 2002 songs that we listened to in a meditation, it kind of sounds like an Indian song. I don't know what album it is, but he stops me and goes, ooh, it's their song. Go see them. So I stopped what I was saying. I said, okay, I'll talk to you later. And boom, all of a sudden I'm there. I'm in Starved Rock State Park. I have Chief Katakiching to my right. And there are all the Indians. And the chief, we now know his name is Wampanoag. Is that right, Jimmy? Wampanoag?
Yeah.
Okay. And I said, hello. And, I've never been an official emissary, but Father said, you're going to be me. So I started to talk, and I went to sit down, and the chief looked at me and he goes, "Who are you?" And I stood back up. I said, "I'm sorry. I'm in crisis. I'm a warrior for God." The chief had a kitchen. We went through some more platitudes. And the chief said, "Fine, let us sit down." So we sat down, Chief Kedekiching, myself, the chief, and then all of the Indians sat down around. Now, there are hundreds of angels that were cordoning off a main area. If you can imagine, 200 angels or so. So we had a very wide berth to talk. I didn't quite understand what that was for at the time, and I'll bring that up in a moment. But we talked very nicely. Chief Kedekiching, I don't know what language he was speaking in, but he put his hand on my arm and he started to describe, you know, what we were doing. He was raising his hand in the air. He was pointing to me, and then he would point to me and said, "This place that you're at, this place that you're in, that you don't have to stay here." And we proceeded to explain to them how there's a better place, and that there is an opportunity for them, and that this place that they're at is not the final place. Chief Kedekiching said, "There's one God. There's one Son, and yes, the Great Spirit is something we worship, but there are other opportunities for you." He described myself as a great warrior. At the time, apparently I had my armor, and what Father said was, he says, "When you sat down to meditate, you all of a sudden appeared in their village, in the middle of their center, boom, dressed in your armor, cross-legged, and they wanted to know who you were. They knew you were a warrior, but they had no idea. They were wondering for the time that you've been there, who was this person?" So I proceeded to describe who I was. He described Sub-Lancer. She said, "And there is one who is greater than these two." And all of a sudden, I don't know how to describe it, but the best thing is, if you've ever seen movies or if you've seen how light from behind you creates a fog, and you see this brightness behind you, you feel a warmth, and all of a sudden, Jesus is there. And he's got his arms outstretched, and he says, "I am he who they speak of." And I spun around on my hands and knees, and Chief Kedekiching spun around. The Indian chief bowed his head, and Jesus spoke for a few minutes. And then he said, "And I must go." And he disappeared. And the light level dropped back down to whatever it was in that area. When that happened, my body shuddered. And I started shaking. And if you've had experiences being around our Father, our Big Brother, you know that's just what happens. We're here and we're there, and it's a physical strain. And the chief noticed that, and he said, "Why did you shudder when that one showed up?" And I went, "That one." He goes, "That one. That's Jesus." He goes, "I don't know this man," and it blew me away. I couldn't believe that there were those who had passed on that didn't know who Jesus was. But how naive of us, and how many times have we heard that there are realms, and those, there are people that have never heard of this. So we proceeded to talk a few more moments, and I extended the invitation to him and his people, and he pointed back over his shoulder, and he says, "Even the ancient ones are here." He says, "And we will all come." The ancient ones describe I've heard that term because in Illinois they have found bones and human remnants back over 10,000 years, way before human beings they thought could exist. So he says they will come. We ended the conversation, and I told him, I said, "Chief Kedekiching will be here." I described others that will come, and please accept the invitation to at least listen and allow yourself to hear of this Jesus. I ended the conversation, and Chief Kedekiching stayed and I left. Later on, I was talking to the planter, and he smiled, and he said, "You know, you weren't at the state park. You weren't at the park." And I said, "I have no idea." He goes, "You were in the realm of the departed. You were in their realm." I said, "What?" He said, "You were not just in the realm of the state park. Their realm looked like the state park." And I thought, oh my goodness, what a wonderful experience. So the biggest thing I pulled away from that experience was there are many, many, many that don't know Jesus. If you can imagine that, for whatever reason, whether they didn't live during that time or they just plain old their realm is so far from where others have gone in and tried it. And the pastor brought up a point. He goes, our brothers and sisters, you know, the white man, trust them, whatever experience they had, and now we have, you know, the white men coming saying, trust me. Their souls and their natures retain their experiences, and now they're open. And then just one final note that goes off. While we were sitting in service, it was quite funny. Evangelist Metzger held a service. It was like a guest service. And everything he brought up was exactly what was needed to be heard. And the Indians were there, and they heard this. And then even the next service was like a guest service. They heard about the beginnings of our church. So that was my experience. Thank you.
Thank you. The ironic thing was when Trisus was sent to go talk to the Indians, he went with Chief Catechiching, and then Jesus came. So there was three that were there to discuss what Father's invitation was. And that morning, when that chief was invited to come with his tribe, the service was about Abraham and how three angels came representing Father and how Abraham ran to meet these three angels because he knew that they were representatives of our Heavenly Father. There is no such thing as coincidence in our Heavenly Father's work. Last weekend, Trisus and I went and spent time with Starburst, and she lives in Waupaca, Wisconsin. And when I drove up there, Father said to me, he goes, I need you to go meet with the chief of that area. And I said, okay, I can do that. So Sunday morning, Michael came, and he took me there, and Chief Catechiching came with me as well. And the interesting thing was this realm that this tribe actually is the Potawatomi tribe, and their chief's name is Wapuka, is his name, and that's where they actually get the name of the town from. I greeted him, and we sat down, and I did exactly what Trisus did. I explained to him why I was there. I extended the invitation to him. He graciously accepted our invitation, and then I said I had to go, and I know that Chief Catechiching actually remained behind and spoke more with him. Service for the Departed is in 2 weeks, and I'm going to ask all of you to please pray more for the American Indian, but not just for them. Recently, Brilliance lost her grandmother, and while she was meditating, her grandmother actually came to her in the center of her mind, and after they had a brief conversation, her grandmother said to her, we still need prayers. As of today, I told Lexis that we will now liberate 40,000 realms a day. 20,000 at midnight my time and 20,000 at 12 noon my time. So before the meeting, Lexis looked at me and he said, we liberated 20,000 realms today, sir. We will do the other 20 and we will continue forward. I need you to understand that every time you and I ask our Heavenly Father to help a soul, the moment you and I pray, or any one of our brothers and sisters prays, or anybody in this world, when they pray for a loved one that's passed, immediately someone is dispatched, and they are sent to that realm, and now they try to have a conversation with this soul. Exactly as the person here is here, is exactly how they are there. Their belief system does not change, even though they don't have flesh. The difference is that when they cross over, now they don't have the ability to ignore what their faith is, because now they're staring it in the face. Even though there's no time, that is all they have to acknowledge. But our brothers and sisters, they come and they share with them who Jesus Christ is. And just as Christ has brought to our attention, that there's people in existence, the American Indians, who have never heard of Jesus Christ. Why would they? The church wasn't active back then, were they? They could not trust the white man. All we want to do is take their land and kill them. Why would they listen to us about our Savior and our Redeemer? There are people in existence who have never heard of God, who have never heard of Jesus, the Holy Spirit. They have never heard of our apostles or our church. They have never heard of any church. And I recently came across somebody who just doesn't even have a faith, tried to understand why they would even have one. And I was taken aback by that. But these are the conditions that are in these realms. Now, after that soul is dispatched to go talk to these people, it doesn't mean that those people are going to listen. It doesn't mean they're going to accept the invitation, and it doesn't mean they're going to come out of the realm. And the problem with our church, mostly, is most of our members believe that the only time that we're supposed to pray for these souls is the week between the preparatory service for the departed and the service for the departed. They don't understand that that week is for you and I. That is the week that you and I make sure that our hearts are right, that if we are holding a grudge against somebody that we let go of it, that if we have an anger or an issue, we put it aside and we concentrate on ourselves that week and prepare ourselves to be ready that when we go in on that Sunday, the only thing that those souls see when they come is an open heart, is a loving heart, is a heart like our big brother Christ. The four-month period between the services is the time that you and I petition. It is during that time that our Heavenly Father puts so many souls through so many different situations that now you and I have empathy for people. Look into your lives, my beloved team, and see what Father has had caused to you to happen recently in your life, some struggle, some shortcoming, something that's come across your mind. It used to be years ago as New Apostolics that during that period of time we were not allowed to watch TV because we had to concentrate on the service. The funny thing is for me and Trisus, we watch the History Channel most of the time during that time. And it's during those TV shows that we come to find a lot of people that we need to pray for. I am not going to tell you who you need to pray for. That is not my job. My job is to just ask you to please remember them. Pray with a sincere heart. Pray often. Even if you just say to Father during the course of the day when some thought comes across your heart, Father, I am asking you to help this group. I'm asking you to help this person. I'm petitioning on behalf of this situation. Okay? Does anybody have any questions? Okay. Tranquility, can you talk now?
Yes, I can. I have to apologize, but this last week, the demon's been very close to the surface.
Okay.
I know Tom doesn't realize it, but I can see it in his eyes. And he spent the whole afternoon in his office, and as soon, like 5 minutes before I got on the phone, he came and was sitting in the other room. So that's why I couldn't talk, so I apologize. He's back upstairs now. But
nothing to be forgiven.
Pardon me?
Nothing to be forgiven.
Oh, the district elder said that he would give the memory stick to the district apostle, but I have not heard back. I haven't seen him. I know that the chief apostle from Niagara Falls, he went to Montreal, Quebec, which is another province, and he only just left. So I'm not really sure whether anybody listened to it or not.
Okay.
But just the impression that I got when the chief apostle prayed, I don't know, the way he prayed, and he said, some people are going through circumstances that we can't even fathom, and somehow that just struck me that perhaps he has an insight to it, or I don't know. But Trisus and I were talking 2 weeks ago, and oh my gosh, my mind went blank. I'm sorry. I'm on these stupid muscle relaxants. I just lost my train of thought. Oh, yes.
Okay.
God spoke to Trisus while I was having my healing, and he said, the ministers understand. The ministers have the understanding, but the men don't. So the ministry already knows, but it's the humans that have to get that understanding. And so that's what I'm praying for now. I'm praying that the men, that they will develop the understanding and that their minds will be open and they'll come to understand what's going on. As soon as I find out whether the stick was passed on or not, then I'll definitely let you all know. But thank you for your prayers. Tom has been very quiet, which also it makes me a little bit... not suspicious isn't the right word, but before he used to be very vocal. The demon was very vocal, and now he's very, very quiet. I can only tell from what's in his eyes whether the demon is there or not. So I think that things are happening behind the scenes only by what I'm observing here at home, if
okay.
That makes any sense.
Yes.
You know how loud he gets, right? But he's been
yeah.
very, very quiet. So is it that the demon perhaps knows what's going on and that now we're calling him out? Like now we're
yeah.
not you know, we're not afraid. We're spreading the word, and other people are hearing. So I'm not sure if maybe he's just being more quiet because of that, you know, that things are happening behind the scenes. But I know Tom is still struggling. He's telling me that he still has a lot of problems, but I'm not hearing the manifestations of it like I used to, or
good,
like our family used to. Yeah.
Well, I think because we are a unified front, and now one of the words I'm looking for, we've flushed this guy out into the light now. He doesn't
right.
need to perform as much anymore, mm-hmm. because we are all aware of what's going on.
Right.
And now that your leaders are aware of this, he's got nothing else to do except wait until his time comes that we remove him permanently. So I'm glad to hear that Tom is at least getting a reprieve.
Yeah, I'm not so sure if he is, though. That's what I'm saying. I can still see it in his eyes, and he's telling me that things are bad, but I don't hear it like we used to.
Okay.
So I'm not sure if Tom's getting a reprieve, but our family is. You know, like Andrew Thomas and I are definitely getting a reprieve, which is good. It's been a rough 2 months for us, you know, with other things. So God's granted us a wonderful reprieve. But I do agree with you. Like, he is flushed out now. There's no turning back. It's, you know, it's full steam ahead.
It's a matter of time now.
Right. Right.
All of us, I believe, in the United States, we listened to the DVD of the service from last weekend.
Yes.
So we all got a chance to hear our new chief apostle, who is just a big ball of fire.
Yeah.
We are excited about what's coming. And even as he served, Jesus was standing in the front, and he looked at me many times and said, "Can you see now, brother, why Father chose this man?" And I had to say again, "Yes, you can. You see the change is coming."
Yeah.
He is not someone who's just going to sit back. He even defined that you don't use the same, we're not building a foundation of the church anymore, so you don't use
right.
the same builders, you don't use the same tools, which I thought was brilliant.
Yes.
Because so many of our senior members are stuck in the past, and you can't.
Yes, including my in-laws.
Really? I'll bet.
Yep.
Well, he was one of the builders.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah,
he helped
for sure.
Us with on. So I can
if I could only, that energy was just unbelievable. And even when we, like the choir and the orchestra were behind the chief apostle, but when we played, he always turned around and faced us. And you could just feel, you could feel that energy. I had goose pimples all the time. It just, a wave of these goose pimples that just came about. And even at the end, we were told to play another piece so that all the district apostles and the apostles and the chief apostle could leave. But so we played this piece, and he went off from behind the altar, and he stood right near us, and he stood and listened. So again, they were supposed to leave, but no, he chose to listen, and he listened intently. I guess that's the best way. He's very intense.
Yes, he is.
But he also has a sense of humor, so he still has that human level to him. It's. Yeah. I just wish that you could have all been there. It was so wonderful. It was really amazing. It was a wonderful weekend.
Good. Does anybody have anything they'd like to add or discuss? They need? You'd like the team to know about?
Helen needs a job, please. Andrew's girlfriend.
She does? Helen?
Helen,
yeah.
Yes,
okay.
She's graduated from university, and the job market for new graduates is poor. Most of them get jobs as a waitress or very low-paying jobs. So she is looking for a job in earnest. If you wouldn't mind to carry her in your prayers, that would be awesome.
We can do that.
Thank you.
Okay, if there isn't anything else, then I would just like to pray with everybody, please. Kind Heavenly Father, we approach you all. And as we do, Father, we all take a knee and we bow. Because of the humbleness that you have placed in our hearts and the reverence and the love and respect that we have for you, we do this now. We realize more and more, Father, that everything that you allow us to live through is but a tool to teach us what the future is going to hold. You have reined us in at times where perhaps we thought maybe we knew what the situation was, only to find that we didn't even have a clue. And there were times, Father, that you have put us through just recently where they were pretty desperate, and they were even frightening at times. But you were the one who held out your hand. We are the ones who held on to it, and we will not let go. We appreciate, Father, the words of encouragement that you gave us to be mindful of our surrounding, to know that you are always with us, to let us open our hearts to you no matter how inconsequential we may think it is, to even come closer to you, Father. That is even a miracle to us, because all of us now, Father, has had the opportunity to be in your presence, to stand before you, to feel your love, and our big brother Jesus, too. There are so many things that rest on the hearts of our team. We can feel them. We would like to address a few of them, Father, because some of them have reached out to us. One said that she feels she is in a funk. So, Father, you are the one who will reach into her heart, and you will give her the strength that she needs, and you will give her the guidance, and you will give her the strength that she can move forward and get herself out of this. And someone else reached out to us and said that they were visited recently by an angel telling them something that's going to happen in the future. You know everything, Father, so we pray that you will give this teammate of ours the wisdom to discern what is around them all the time. We ask that for everybody. And that, Father, too, where we've been asked to pray for Helen, we gladly do, because, Father, she is a sister in faith for us. You are the one, Father, who moves the hearts of the employers. Sometimes, Father, you make us wait because there is no job for you to hand to us. We also put Blazar in this prayer as well, because he looks for a better job, Father, to support his family. We pray for his little girl. You are the one, Father, who allows these illnesses to take place. It is because of your glory that sometimes you allow these things, because then it brings us closer to you when we are in a problem. But, Father, it is our faith that gets stronger, because we know that you will not allow this to happen forever. There is always hope. There is always change. There are people on our team, Father, who physically suffer through many things. You recently had told Trisus to heal himself by his own meditation. We forgot to bring that up. But he reached into his chest and he pulled out the darkness that was suffocating him. And now he's better. And he will continue to do that with this disease that he has. So we encourage everybody who has a physical illness that during your meditation session you reach in. You are a healer. So you have your healer, who is you, reach into your physical body and remove it. And Father will give you the strength to heal yourself. There are concerns, Father, that we are not aware of, but you know them, whether they are financial, whether they are physical, whether even they are a mental or spiritual struggle. We now bring our entire team before you. And we even have our newest member, Lightstream, who is here, who all of this, Father, she listens, is a bit awestruck by what we discuss, can be a little overwhelming at times. But you have prepared her heart, and she is so welcome on our team because you are the one who has handpicked her. And all of us, Father, can relate to how overwhelming it is when we have come and extended your invitation to somebody and told them they have been picked by you. Here is your name. Here is your responsibility. And then, Father, Satan comes, and he tries to build that doubt. And he sends his minions, and he tries to pick us apart. He tells us how worthless we are when we fail. He tells us how lazy we are because we're not doing something. I am tired of him. But he serves a purpose. And I thank him often when he comes and he torments my team. Because if he didn't, then we would not be as important to your work as we are, would we? So, Father, I pray for courage for the team and strength. Let them know that I love them as much as you love them. And I admire all of them for their faith and their courage and their strength and their sacrifice. So if there is something, Father, I have forgotten to ask, then you will now step in and you will provide and you will cover with your grace. We pray for our friend Tom, who still suffers. You are the one who knows the extent of this time. We pray that you will alleviate this, that you will help this come to a conclusion, and that Tom will be restored, Father, next to tranquility. My whole family will be able to stand together in service. We pray also for our chief apostle and all those connected with him. Father, it was nice to hear him today. We can see the power he holds We look forward to the future, Father, when we all work hand in hand and side by side. Cover everything, Father. We lay this in thy hands. Again, if we've forgotten something, please cover it. But as always, Father, according to what we ask, and see our hearts how much we love you. Thank you again for everything.
Okay. Amen.